Friday, and that can only mean one thing. It's time for the best of Sell or Die.
The best nuggets of sales wisdom every week, all in one place.
A sales slap in the face. A sales refresher.
I feel refreshed.
I can tell. And if you want to go back and listen to the full episodes, we've made it easy. There are links to each of the episodes right in the show notes.
If you love the podcast, if you're a true Sell or Diehard, and you haven't given us a 5-star review on iTunes yet,
what are you waiting for?
Seriously, Friday is the best day to do it. It helps us so that we can help you.
It's time for the best of the best, the cream of the crop, the creme de la creme, sales grade A red meat. It's time
to sell or die.
Welcome, Jason.
What would you tell our diehard who's an introvert, doesn't really like video, wants to hide behind that email?
Yeah.
So I would say, first off, I understand where you're coming from because I am an introvert, and I feel that we can use, introverts especially, can use their introvertedness as an excuse. Mm-hmm. I've used it lots of
times. What do they do? Put a bag over their head when they're doing the video?
Cut out the eye thing? It's true. I'm not going to go to that networking event because I'm an introvert. I'm not going to do this because I'm an introvert. It's true. People do.
Oh.
Yeah.
And it's a huge excuse. And there's been so many cool studies on being introverted and extroverted. And a lot of successful people, especially leaders of companies, are actually introverted people. So I think the first thing is make sure that you're not using your introvertedness as an excuse. And the big thing you got to think about is, hey, everything comes down to fear. Like, hey, you're scared that someone's going to judge you and they might reject you. And that's totally okay to feel that way, but that's a part of sales.
But
and
video,
you just
got
to try it and move past it.
You're on video. You can't even hear them reject you. I mean, so, think about it.
It's a one-way video.
The video is a stepping stone to a face-to-face meeting.
Yeah.
I think.
Is there a, I agree.
I mean, it got us face-to-face, didn't it?
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Is there a special platform or program you use to send videos? Because a lot of email clients won't actually embed the email within it, and then you have to click out, and then people don't click.
Yeah. So there's a couple things, if I could just share a couple quick tips that make people feel a little more comfortable with video. One of the things is that if you aren't right now, start doing more Zoom calls. So that could just be internal, like people on your team, like start doing more of this stuff. And there's two things you should practice. One is like making eye contact with the webcam, right? So it looks like I'm talking to you instead of at you like this and looking at the screen.
Yeah.
The other thing too is like, I don't have like a professional setup or anything in here, but make sure the lighting is good, right? Make sure the lighting is good. Make sure you got some headphones on and practice. Like, it's just like anything else. Like, when I was sending these videos, I've sent out hundreds, probably pretty close to over 1,000, like one-to-one videos at this point, because I prospect myself every day and I practice sending out those videos. It just takes practice. It's like anything else when you're practicing your sales script or whatever, just do a bunch of them and the repetition will make you feel more comfortable.
It's like when you redo your Instagram story like 500 times before you press upload.
Or this wait, is why I got rid of Instagram.
Am I the only one who does that?
Okay, so when you do a video, do you script it?
So I treat this the same as any other sort of cold call or voicemail or whatever. You want to have a general idea of what you want to say, and you might need to script it out word for word the first couple of times you do it. But the really where you should get to is you have like 3 bullet points. It's like, hey, you're introducing who you are. You're saying something personalized, you're talking about how you can help them, and you have a call to action. Yeah, there's 3 or 4 components of it that are pretty straightforward. So to answer your question, Jennifer, about the tool, I recommend a tool called Loom.
Vidyard.
Vidyard is great. Also, Soapbox is great. Yeah. I mean, like there's really good tools. I prefer Loom just because the workflow is the easiest for what we do.
Yeah.
So the kicker here.
Loom can record your screen and put your video like at the bottom, or it can just record you. You get to decide. But it's really cool if you're doing like a video tutorial for someone. Like sometimes what we'll do, like for example, today Alex is filming a Loom And in it, it's for the 2020 Sales Vision members, our private Facebook group. And basically, he's showing them a new workflow. So like, hey, guys, this is Alex. Here's where you go if you want to get the replays and you don't want to watch them on Facebook. You can watch them in your portal right here. Here's the show notes we're adding. Like, he's showing them on his screen all of that. And they can see him while he's filming it. Well, they can't click it. It's a video. But he'll include the links in there for how to do it. But it's really cool because it's not just a video of someone's screen. You actually see their face. So you feel like, okay, there's this deeper connection to the person.
Yep.
I like it.
You brought up a really good point, too, in that, you know, we can dig into the prospecting script a little bit more. But you brought up a really good point in that video can be used for so many more things than prospecting. I think you should use it throughout the sales process. So if you're selling virtually, which I imagine most of the people listening to this have to hop on Zoom calls, right?
Yeah.
And oftentimes, I just went through this the other day where I'm talking to like a VP of corporate development at a nonprofit that we want to do some prospecting for to help them get partnerships. And that first call, her CEO and the president were not on that call. So what I did in knowing that, hey, she's not the only decision maker, is how could I recap our conversation in like a 2-minute video, throw it into the email, and then when she brings it back to her CEO and president, like they have a quick video so they can see me. They're like, okay, cool. Jason sounds like he knows what he's talking about. Here's what they covered. Instead of having to read through an entire long email where I capture like all the notes from the meeting. Or when you do if you're doing demos, and because I do a typically like a 45-minute like video call where I'll do a demo and show how our service works, no CEO is going to sit through a 45-minute recording.
That is correct.
So you can share a 2-minute
That is correct,
video.
Sir.
Yeah.
They won't even start to look at it. How about that?
You see the end time is 45 minutes and you're like, not right now.
Yeah.
Like, no.
Dallin Larson
you're a CEO and you're the kind of person our diehards always want to get in to talk to. They always want to get to the decision maker, right? And so how can someone that's trying to sell something get to you or get to other people who are like you? What do they need to do?
Well, gosh, I'm a pretty visible person. I do Facebook Lives with our brand partners, people who call me and ask me. I try to make myself available because if I'm sitting in this office, I'm not an operational guy. I love the people. I love going out there and creating the relationships. Hey, they call me and I'm available. I did a state of the company call last night. I'm heading to Chicago next week. I'm on the road virtually every week helping people. The thing that's different with me this time around, I'm 59. My wife's 50. She'll be 51. She looks 20. She looks 29. She's a fitness expert and she'd take me down in about 5 seconds. She's crazy. She's crazy fit, Jill. So she keeps me in line, thank goodness. But we've got a blended family, his, hers, and ours. Tomorrow we celebrate our 16th wedding anniversary. We dated for 4 months and she was a jet pilot, by the way. And she said, step up or step aside. I stepped up. We got married.
Oh, my God. Man, where'd it go?
He put a ring on it.
Me. Oh, my gosh. She put the clothes on me like none other. And so all of a sudden, I've got 8 kids to feed. And we started Monavi in 2005. We took that company from 0 to over $900 million a year in sales in our third year. It was a crazy rocket ship. That's where I lost the rest of my hair. But anyway, I've been blessed beyond measure in this industry. So now where I am at 59, I figure I'm on third base. If life was a baseball diamond, I want to finish my life strong. Intention matters to me. I would say to anybody looking to get involved with the company, find out the intentions of the ownership. My intention is very clear. I'm the majority investor here. I did that because I wanted to control the outcome. I lost the control of the outcome of my former community. We sold a piece of that company to a private equity group and I lost control and I didn't like the result. So this time around, it's private. It's going to stay that way. And I'm not doing this because I have to. It's a get to and it makes all the difference in the world. This time around, my intention is to keep it private, to go out and bless as many people as we can, physically, financially, spiritually, all areas of their life. We're drilling wells over in Tanzania for children where over 2,000 of them die every day under the age of 5. My wife and I just got back. It's amazing. It's amazing in 2019, truly. when we can do so many amazing things, yet we can't get fresh water around the world. Mm-hmm. It's nuts.
Yeah, it is.
But so I love the culture that we're creating. And now it's about, I want to help as many other people's dreams come true. I've already had the yacht. I've had the private jet. I've had, you know, I've played St. Andrews. I've been to the Masters. I've been to the Super Bowl. All of the things I had on my bucket list are now crossed off. And now it's about helping people cross things off their bucket list. And so I like that.
You mentioned building, how do you say it? Monavi?
No,
Monavi.
Monavi.
Monavi. Yeah.
But I have some intel that tells me when you built that, you were on the brink of a bankruptcy. And is that true? And you took out a second mortgage? Tell us what had it?
Oh, me personally?
I think so.
I would say this, you know, I married Carrie. I had walked away from USANA a few years earlier. I had gone through most of my savings. And unlike my sister, who was getting a check every week, I wasn't. So I thought, hey, and I was still young enough to believe that I could do it again, full of confidence. I've done it. You know, so I walked away from USANA. I just felt like it was time after 10 years. And so when I met Carrie, yeah, I didn't have a lot of money saved up. I was living in a condo. And all of a sudden, I had 8 kids to feed. I had the knots in the stomach figuring out, geez, you know, this woman just walked away from the airlines to marry me. And I've got 8 kids with no help from her end, from her ex-husband. And I've got to feed 8 kids and my wife. And what am I going to do? And yeah, we were a couple months away from running out of savings. And then a friend of mine brought me the acai berry. A couple months later, we launched Monavi. And we made some commitments to one another. And truly, you know, I got on my knees and I said, God, man, I need your help. Okay. And I'm willing to do this if you're willing to do that. And that's really a true story. And so a week after that, this is when this friend brought me the acai berry. A couple months later, we launched Monavi. And we took it from zero to 900 million in 3 years.
Holy shit.
And it was an amazing rocket ship where hundreds of millionaires were created. I've seen people make 100 a week and 150 grand a week and all ranges in between. Were I to do it over again, I would have done a few things differently because it didn't end like I wanted it to. I lost control, like I said.
Monday. Oh. You know, I want to talk about really dive in what a salesperson should look for when they're going for a sales job. Because I think that salespeople see numbers and potential and see a new product and see something shiny and they jump ship very easily. And when you jump ship, you are starting all over again. You have to prove yourself. You often have to make new connections. You're really starting again. And it's really important that before you do that, you know what you're getting yourself into. And so I would ask questions like, what is the structure of this team? And how often have you reorged? Because like, in my former company, yeah, we would reorg every year,
yeah,
which really meant we were letting go of a lot of people every year. And so you want to find that kind of information out. You want to find out what kind of training they're going to give you, what kind of support they're going to give you. What do they expect of you on a daily basis? Because I know someone who thought she was signed up for a job where she had a lot of freedom and a lot of ability to just sort of do whatever she wanted throughout the day. And then it turned out her boss wanted her to come into the office every day, not one day a week like she thought. And her boss wanted her to make 350 cold calls a day, not just go networking like she thought. So it's really important you ask questions about like, what does my day-to-day look like? What are you expecting of me? Just so you're on the same page before you make that jump.
You also get the subtle tone of the employer. Mm. What's it going to be like to work for them? Are you compatible personality-wise? And don't be fooled by how much money you could potentially make.
Mm-hmm.
That's the worst thing you possibly could be fooled into. Just take a job that you love.
And what you might want to do is ask, like, can I speak with your two most successful reps?
Yeah.
Because I want to find out what makes them successful here to make sure that I would be a good fit as well. And then you can use whatever they said makes them successful, if that works for you too. And if that's what you do as well, then you can use that in your thank you letter. Like, after speaking with Lauren and finding out that her three best qualities that makes her so successful are X, well, I'm just like that too, and that's why you should hire me. So So you can use that to your advantage once you have that info.
Let me take you back to an incident that occurred to me in 1964 when I was in college at Temple University. I had a statistics teacher, and at the very beginning of the class, he had like 10 things written on the board. All the kids are new there. He told us what we had to do. We had to read the book, underline the book, take the test. If you missed the test, there's a seating chart. 15 minutes of that crap. And he said, are there any questions? And I raised my hand. I said, would you please sign my drop slip? I was just out of there. And I was out of there. I got an ovation from the class.
Oh, my God.
Nobody else had the balls to get their drop slip signed. But thank you very kindly. But the bottom line was I wasn't going to sit there in a classroom with something I was uncomfortable with. I was going to do what I felt was comfortable for me. Same with the job. You do what's comfortable for you, because if it's not comfortable, it's never going to fit. It's like trying on a shirt that's too small and you're trying to button it up. Like, you remember the Ugly Sisters from Cinderella when they're trying on the glass slippers?
Yeah,
they're ugly bastards. They're not going to fit into one of those slips. It has to be Cinderella herself. So be careful. You know, if the shoe fits, that's one of the deals. But if you feel comfortable, if you feel like it's a fit, then question deeper. If you don't feel like it's a fit, get the hell out of there.
We have a question from our studio room. Ooh. Yes, Doug.
So I want to go back to something that Jen was discussing. Do you think that sometimes people in sales get focused on that starting salary or that starting commission, and they forget to factor in, you know, fit and how much they'll love it? Because ultimately, those are the things, right, that contribute to the growth of your income or the growth of your commission.
Okay, so this is what you have to think about. The person hiring you is likely really good at sales. So that person is going to create this compensation package and this piece of paper that's going to make it look like you can achieve anything and you can make so much money, and maybe you can. But what I would want to know is how many people are actually hitting these numbers and making these commissions? Because just because you can achieve it doesn't mean you will achieve it. And what is it going to take? Is it actually doable? And so you need to find that out, because, yeah, they can promise you that if you make this kind of sales, you'll make $1 million or whatever it may be. But how many people are actually doing that, and how doable is it?
And if I'm not meeting those numbers, when do you cut my cord? This has been a Sell or Die Extra. If you like it and you like the show and you like all the information that's inside of it, go to thegittimerlearningacademy.com and subscribe. What are you doing? What's this noise?
I'm going to gittimerlearningacademy.com to subscribe.
Way to go. Way to go. You can also subscribe to Sell or Die on Overcast if you have an iPhone, or if you don't, go to the store and get an iPhone, or if you don't, go to iTunes or Stitcher and come back every single Tuesday for a full Sell or Die episode with expert sales analysis that will help you do the one thing you're hoping for, make more sales.
This has been a presentation of the Sell or Die Network. For more podcasts that you can take out into the street and turn into money, visit sellordienetwork.com.